to Normalize This, where we are dissecting sexual vocabulary, asking intimate questions, and starting necessary conversations. I'm your host, Kenny Francoeur, and this is Normalize This. Let's get to work. So today we're going to start with a topic that is near and dear to my heart and my bowels, anal sex. It's not just for the gays. Now, it's come to my attention that many equate anal sex or anal play of any kind with pain. Listen very carefully. No anal anything has to be painful, period. We'll eventually delve more fully into pleasure systems involved with anal, like the prostate, or the inner stems of the clitoral system, or the millions of nerves throughout the rectal anatomy that can make butt stuff feel mwah, like the bee's knees. But today let's focus on how to avoid pain, which requires a brief but heartwarming journey up the anatomy of your rump. Our bodies contain two types of muscle, skeletal and smooth. Skeletal muscle is voluntary, so like the muscles in your legs. You can flex them at will, right now, and move them when you want to if you have full ability over them. Smooth muscle is involuntary, so consider the muscles in your digestive system. You don't have to think real hard to activate the muscles to move food down your esophagus, into your stomach, through your intestines, and out your poop chute. Your body, if everything is functional, does this on its own. Both of these types of muscle are represented in your two anal sphincters. Yes, there are two, the sphincter sisters. Now, everybody, squeeze your booty hole for me right now. Okay, good. Now that we're all doing it, what you're feeling happen is your external sphincter contracting, i.e. skeletal muscle. You can control it. Then you have an internal sphincter, which is smooth muscle. This you don't have the same control over. It's contracted and closed most of the time in order to prevent anything you don't want going in or coming out from going in or coming out. So these are your two little sphincties. Often, if pain is experienced during anal, it is due to the grave mistreatment of these two sphincters. So, say, if you were gonna sprint a distance, would you stretch out your hammies? Yeah, you would. So, if you're hopping on the overnight express to Pound Town, it might behoove you to stretch the necessary musculature up your derriere. Sometimes this stretching can happen in the form of training kits. They're essentially like a series of butt plugs that incrementally get larger. Sometimes anal masturbation with fingers can be the stretching your sphincter needs. Now, this shouldn't need to be said, but none of this stretching will result in some irreversible gaping hole. These muscles are built to fully contract. All you gotta do is train their ability to expand to any size desired, from your pinky finger to a double fist to the moon and back. But another great way to warm up for the big game is taking anal foreplay during sex seriously. Fingering the receptive partner before anal sex might make inevitable insertion go a lot smoother. And for the love of all that is holy, cut your fingernails. Analingus is also the cat's meow when it comes to relaxing those muscles. Because lest we forget, relaxation is key. That involuntary smooth muscle of that internal sphincter operates on fight or flight senses. So take your time to allow yourself to relax in the event you're a newbie or in the event it just takes you a little bit to open up. Also, no two phalluses or fingers are the same. Sometimes based on length, girth, curvature, your own rectal cavity, certain positions can work better than others. So bottoms, or receptive partners, there's no shame in saying, nope, let's move around and change it up, because you're the one who risks the greatest discomfort later if the experience doesn't go well. And tops, or insertive partners, unless your partner is very experienced, respect the fact that jamming it in there is a surefire way to make your first time together your last time together. Also, God, lube. The anus is not self-lubricating. You have a thin mucosal lining as your only barrier, which can wear away fast when someone or something is going up there drier than the Mojave. And not everyone is quite as adept at using that, you know, that good back of the throat mucus spit as lube as they would like to think they are. I prefer a silicone-based lubricant because they're generally thicker and longer-lasting, but experiment and discover what works best for your body. Also, ooh, no lotions or soap if you're going at it in the shower. Ah! Chemicals combined with delicate insidey parts do not a happy booty make. And y'all, you deserve a happy booty. I just know you have questions, so why not quench your curiosity? Send me your questions. You can't discover the answer if you never ask. So get thee to our Instagram page, Normalize This, and slip and slide into those DMs, baby. Let me help you help yourself. Any questions answered on the podcast will remain completely anonymous, so what's the harm? No question is too taboo or strange. Get to it. Go. Now. Do it. Go. Go, 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 go. Welcome back. Now, 12% of Americans age 18 to 29 have had their nudies or other explicit photos shared with others without their consent. Boo. But whether they're shared for entertainment, bragging rights, revenge porn, what have you, New York State this last summer became the 46th state to enact legislation against the non-consensual sharing of private images. Regardless of the effectiveness of individual state legislation, we all are left to cope with a society that needs to both admonish and condemn this kind of behavior while simultaneously trying to create an environment where images of a person's naked body or admission of the most general human sexuality are not damning beyond repair to their reputation. Perfect segue to introduce my guest today. We have Adam McLean. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Kenny. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Okay, so Adam is the founder of postshame.org and hashtag postshame.
Yep.
So can you tell us a little bit about what postshame.org is?
Postshame is an online tool intended for people to find something in their past that they worry would leak onto the internet. And when they leak it on their own with context, they share a story of strength and leadership. And I developed it as a way to find people who are committed to radical transparency and show a capacity to run for public office. And if it's drugs, money, or sex that unwind political candidates, I was looking for a way for people to get ahead of those stories, but also admit something that probably a lot of other people are coping with as well. So I love that you've done this research to kind of uncover where we are with the nudes in the world and uncover the fact that a lot of people send and receive them. And
what? Never.
I know.
How dare you?
I'm here to tell you, do you know that people use their front-facing cameras on their phones to take naked photos of themselves?
Front-facing. Set the self-timer, folks. Come on. Get the right position, the right lighting.
I would like to run for office one day, and every time I shared that dream with my friends, they would tease me and, lovingly say, Adam, you've had too much fun in your life to run for public office. But I said, well, I haven't done anything illegal or unethical. I've just been to a lot of parties, and I guess I'm usually the first one to take off my clothes. And in investigating, kind of doing like opposition research on myself, I realized that there were images of me on the internet where I was naked. So I went to great lengths to have those images taken down, but then had a searching few years where I realized, I don't want that stuff to always be lingering in the background of my mind as something that could maybe unwind my political aspirations. So instead, I founded postshame.org and published an essay called What to Do When You Find Naked Photos of Yourself on the Internet. And it went viral, whatever that means. And I was called brave. And people said, thank you so much for sharing these and giving context and showing people how to de-weaponize nudes. And so now I've been kind of going on the trail a little bit, just trying to raise awareness and continue this conversation, because I think whoever is president in, say, 30 years will very likely be a millennial, and they will probably have sent or received, or both, naked images of themselves or others. And why exactly is that something that would dismantle a candidate?
Well, because I would venture to guess that most people listening have
either have an image on their phone this very second or have had one in the past. Some of us have more than others.
Yeah, your listenership is going to be cool.
Yeah. I mean, they better be. It's, you know, it's like some cool people and my mom. But it's...
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Don't go to postshame.org unless you really want to learn a lot about the latest guest.
Yeah, Mom, don't swipe right on my phone when I hand you a picture.
I interact with people about postshame a lot, and if they're older than 40... they don't go to PostShame, they don't click through, they don't look at the nudes. And if they're under 30 and they're just like an acquaintance of mine or a new friend or something, they have no problem pulling up their phone, going to the website, clicking through the link and being like, huh, oh yeah, these are totally embarrassing. And I'm like, but there's a comfortability in this younger generation where they're just like, yeah, this isn't damning. I don't think that you are a less intelligent person because of this. And because I'm sharing these images to say there's a story there. I bet everyone has a story, you know, to their images. And, you know, to really continue this conversation that when images of you are shared without your consent, it's an act of sexual violence. And the way that that lands with different genders is pretty profound. When women's nudes are released, they immediately get threats of sexual violence. Immediately. Katie Hill, Representative Katie Hill of California, who chose to resign, she, in her op-ed in the New York Times, describes how she was suicidal because the, you know, onslaught of hate online was just so terrifying.
Which is also the case when we look at, like, people in the media or famous individuals who have had nude photos leaked or have had it threatened. Like, I remember it was a year ago when, like, Jeff Bezos went through a similar thing. And I guess it is my own privilege that states that, like, just beat him to the punch.
Well, yeah, but he didn't release his actual nudes.
No, he didn't.
I'm grateful to Jeff Bezos for shining light on something, and I think it's rad that he stood so strongly against the blackmail being sent his way by the National Enquirer. However, there was one sentence that I wanted him to include in that open letter that he put on Medium, which could have been, "This is normal." And I love that you have a statistic that like 12% of those photos that have been shared, you know, have been reshared somewhere else. And I'm like, how do we even get to that metric? Because how many times have you and I been at brunch? And if one of our friends is like, you want to see a photo of the guy I slept with last night? And they just turn around their phone and you're like, that's a naked person. That person has no idea that they're quote unquote naked at a brunch right now. And you and I are nice people who are concerned with consent, you know, decorum and, you know, kindness. And yet we've done this type of thing. I don't mean to speak for you. We've never been to brunch together where you've shown me a nude, but
it's
happened.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a saint. Okay.
Absolutely. No, but yeah, because you just, it's that like bragging rights thing. It's not, there is something where you show it for, I mean, I can admit it's been a very long time since I've done that. I think that was something that was... something I did more like at the beginning of my coming to like sexual fruition as a gay man. That was something that was more exciting. And now I feel like I'm almost desensitized to nude images to the point where like, I don't care.
And we're talking about this, as people who, you know, are, you know, for lack of a better term, maybe like mid career, like imagine being 14 years old and not being able to really reckon with that impulse. And, men and women, or excuse me, girls and boys are treated so differently when their nudes are, you know, spread across a whole high school. I want the headline for all those, you know, bullying things to be, you know, young boys perpetrating revenge porn. I mean, that's what it is. And unfortunately, the way our society is currently set up, that shame lands with the women, with the young girls. Someone like Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who I admire, but when the Katie Hill thing happened, she was like, yeah, you really got to be careful, you know, and maybe don't take those photos in the first place.
And that's where I get worried with conversations like this, because it's like, that's not the point. Take all the photos you want. If it's right for you, take the photos you want.
I have a saying, because a lot of people, and I'm so grateful that you're continuing a conversation, because I am committed to the subject matter. And like, we have to keep talking about nudes in a meaningful way, not just in a salacious way. But my goal is not that everyone release their nudes. Like that would be a weird pandering element of post shame. If I was just like, like, send me your nudes, everyone. Like that's someone else's project. That's Pornhub's project. Like that's not my project.
And, good for them.
But I do want to facilitate a conversation where we explore why it is that because of, you know, fear of female sexuality and the way shaming can be so intensely gendered. When I released my nudes, I was called brave and people really saw what I was doing. And when women release their nudes, they're threatened with sexual violence on Twitter almost immediately.
And when it's funny to think, because like I have not had photos like leaked publicly on a site, but I have had people tell me that they have seen a video of me.
Oh, that is not a great feeling. What was that feeling like?
It actually, I didn't care. But it was because it
was because it was like felt inner circle and like friends. Like, what if like someone on the street recognized you because they're like, oh, by the way, you got some skills.
Thank you. Tell your friends. No, I guess.
If everyone in this story is a he, I think
it's much easier.
It's a totally different thing. How can I tell this story completely anonymized? But I, during post shame, you know, I'm essentially digging in my past. I'm always on the lookout for like, what have I forgotten about that I might be embarrassed about? And I did find some old photos from college, and I thought it would be funny in a sweet way. Like I was telling a girlfriend, like, you know, I'm always on the lookout. I found this, you know, shoebox of photos. And in this photo, you know, oh my gosh, look, you're naked too in it. And the intensity with which I was just texting it to her to be like, I'm on the lookout for my own post-shame photos. And the visceral reaction she had to say, Adam, this could ruin my life. Mm. Burn it. And I was like, oh, sure, absolutely, sorry. And then I realized I kind of like revenge porned her like to herself. Like suddenly I'm just trying to like keep this conversation going. It's so delicate. It's so dangerous. It's so scary. So, you know, obviously my apology to her was pretty intense where I was like, thank you for showing this to me because this landed in me and my group of my gay male group of friends so differently. And you're a woman and this instills fear in you.
Yeah.
You feel unsafe.
Because I know there are there were some stories of people like ending up copywriting their bodies, essentially, so that even if they didn't have a revenge porn law they could actually use against you for sharing it, they could come at you for copyright infringement. Mm-hmm.
I mean, how great to have resources to copyright your own nudes. But no, I think these laws are a step in the right direction, especially when they're intended to, if there is, you know, harm done, that then you can sue for damages. To be a person of means who can actually pursue that lawsuit and then get money when someone like, say, in, you know, Katie Hill's case, like, doesn't matter how much money she gets from that ex-husband, her reputation's been ruined. Yep. She had to resign from Congress.
Yeah.
Her
name will be synonymous with
exactly
this.
And yes, and here we are, you know, still being.
And
like,
yet we don't know his name. I don't know what the hell his name is.
No, and that's a harder thing. That headline should have been, you know, adult man revenge porns congresswoman, and not Katie Hill has, you know, nude photo leak. But the reason why I want post-shame to be, you know, essentially a political project is because when you ask about like ownership of images, when it comes to free speech and newsworthiness, it doesn't matter who owns what. Because the reason that those news outlets, or news is in quotes because they were just like right-wing, you know, scare tactic blogs, but they released them saying, oh, no, this is newsworthy because she's a sitting congresswoman and we have evidence supposedly that she's had an affair and that that's important in the public interest to know that. And it's like, okay, first of all, no, you did that specifically to shame a woman, a Democratic woman on the rise. So the ownership question, when you send a photo to someone else, like you could claim in a court of law that it was still yours. But, you know, to pursue that in a free speech society, it's nearly impossible, and not something that I think the laws will not protect us. Like the laws are set up so that you can pursue legal action,
but they don't stop the action from
stop the action. And sometimes because the internet is so fast and public shaming is, God, it's its greatest double-edged sword. And I'm a free speech advocate, absolutely. But I would like to see a shift in our society where enough people are having a conversation around nudes and the de-shaming of our bodies, that it shifts the whole context in which Katie Hill's photos leaking wouldn't matter so much. Oh yeah, I recently was having a conversation with someone and they said, you know, Adam, Kanye West had his nudes leaked too. And I said, wait, what? Whenever we talk about Kim Kardashian, it's like she got her start from that sex tape. You know, that's this like synonymous element of like her rise, because it like, you know, increased her fame, because it's salacious that this woman would have, you know, the sex tape come out, and then, you know, the momager has to decide, you know, how are we going to respond to this, and are we going to monetize it or not? So Kanye West, you know, has nudes as well. They were published on Fleshbot. They exist, but it's not a part of his narrative. It's not this damning, shameful piece of his story. Mm. Like it, and by the way, like, yeah, I'm not going to look for Kanye's nudes. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Well, and I think there is part of that that, like, we like being the voyeur. There is something about watching those videos or seeing those things that we feel like we know something about someone now. We've seen them in this vulnerable state. But it's because we are equating, we in our society have equated like vulnerability with nudity, with that that is like an embarrassing moment to be naked, or a, you know, a really impactful moment. Having someone be naked is something that is like, oh, there's this aura around
this country it. Was founded by puritanical folks who were like, put more clothes on, just put more clothes on.
Please. please more parkas. But yeah, like Of course, as consumers, we run towards that stuff, because then it's like I'm in the room. There is something about seeing people naked that is that like is an inherent thing that I try and fight, but it exists in this like little place in the back of my brain that still can't completely squash the idea that there is something interesting about seeing someone in the buff.
You're doing a good job of normalizing this in this moment, because
how dare you?
I forgot that, you know, I spend so much time talking about, you know, dissolving shame and dismantling shame, that I think sometimes maybe I forget a little bit like some of the primal elements of like how we even got here. And you're helping remind me, like, so all of this is true, and it's still really exciting to look at naked photos of people, because like we're human beings and that's what we're doing. It's some of the end of my discussions, you know, I'll be with. And everyone, thank you so much for coming. A reminder, we are all naked underneath these clothes. Like, everyone is in the same boat, and we all have exactly that vulnerability once we're all, declothed at the end of the day or whatever. But that's a good reminder that we can work to dismantle shame at the same time recognizing that our lizard brains are still, trying to undress people with our eyes.
The lizard brain is a very horny brain. They're really horny little creatures.
Although, maybe someone into lizard sex. I'm sure someone is.
You brought up Pornhub. I'd just type it into Pornhub. You know, that was, we were doing like research on porn sites.
Oh my God. The research for this podcast, I'm sure, is just like a private browser.
Oh, it is a hoot. Like, I mean, literally, if this were a work computer, we would be fired. But there is one of the top for 2019 in Pornhub, the second most searched term was alien. Because of that Area 51 like thing in 2019, where there was like
people were like looking for aliens.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
I have not seen it. I am interested to know if
the
it is
second most searched.
The second most searched.
The first one was stepmom.
No, the first one was amateur. Because apparently the trend is that people are no longer interested in seeing kind of scripted
studio
scenes,
porn.
but to be voyeurs and to see authentic amateur pornography that's just a camera set up somewhere. It's interesting. That's what people are, at least in 2019, were craving when it came to pornography, was seeing the most natural version of porn. Normal people, I mean, porn stars are also normal people, but like non-paid professionals having sex.
Yeah, I guess that speaks to the proliferation of the OnlyFans and Just for Fans communities, because people just want to, I mean, it's so funny. Like I, you know, full disclosure, I saw a Just for Fans video recently and I was like, this is so like, you can't hold a cell phone while you're doing this act that you're doing. You actually need all your hands, like put it on a counter. Right. But this is the world we live in now is people are really hungry for this
and
type
people
of
will
content.
Pay. That, that's and exactly it. Pay. And people will subscribe and pay to an OnlyFans account that someone's just using their front-facing camera, unfortunately, to take these videos. But we're like, we're shelling out dough because that's somehow is meeting a need.
No, and I even follow a friend. He's an actual friend, like in real life. And he lives in LA and he posted some photos and I messaged him and I said, these photos look like maybe is there like a Just for Fans or OnlyFans like in your life? And he was like, actually, funny you ask. Like, yes, that's something I'm getting started. So he, you know, tells me his name on there. I search for it. I follow it. And I was like, I'm a subscriber now. And he's like, thanks, buddy.
Small
like,
business Saturday.
Right. But and then I was like, how do I reckon like this is someone I know and like hang out with. But like now they're part of this like porn diet consumption. And I was like, maybe this is the new world.
Well, and but I mean, maybe with
everyone
this new
in that
world,
story is consenting, like yeah. Every, and he's getting paid.
But if we're after that kind of amateur-looking thing, amateur photos, amateur videos, maybe that is like the move that might help the individual photos feel less exciting. Because
yeah,
we
now
have
I
that
just
access.
Want him to run for office. Like, I want this whole thing yeah. to come full circle. Like, I want there to somehow be a way. I mean, I want him to run for office if he's, you know, a capable leader and has good ideas and, you know, can build coalitions and get things done. Those are my first criterias for people running for
and
office.
And then porn star.
And then it's like, yeah, are you a fully, you know, integrated person? I think we're kind of far away from that, but yeah. I'm really grateful to get to have this type of conversation and be a part of this early conversation. Because we really have to reckon with the way that the internet has changed the way we communicate, the way we interact with the world, the way we take in the world, yeah. and how we, you know, run our country as well.
Thanks for listening into the podcast today. Make sure you are following and subscribing and leave us a review while you're at it. I'd like to end in talking a little bit about sexual vocabulary. Several terms of sexual vocabulary end in the suffix lingus. This suffix is taken from the Latin lingere, meaning to lick. So cunnilingus is to lick the vulva. Analingus is to lick the booty. There's also far less common terms, though, using this, like penilingus, to lick the penis. Now, we all use terms like fellatio or blowies instead. Now, there's also mammalingus, to lick the mammaries, the tatas. And all of these can have the prefix auto if you're able to do them to yourself. So I'm sure we've all heard of auto fellatio, but what would be in Latin, it would be auto penilingus. I would really like to know the amount of ribs you would need removed in order to perform auto analingus and lick your own back door. So if you know that, make sure you're writing in and let me know. My favorite lingus, though, the one that tickles me most of all, is air lingus. I know it's just an airline, but if there were any justice in the world, their slogan would be air lingus, tongue in the sky. Thanks for tuning in today. Fly, be free, and lingus in peace.